Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new edition of the OPC Foundation podcast, the home of industrial interoperability. My name is Peter Seeberg, and I'm your host. Today, I'm going to be talking to Smitha Rao. She's the co-founder of Utunga, and we're going to be talking about OPC-UA from the perspective of a founder and managing director from India. Hello, Smitha. How are you?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. We just chatted about the weather. I think you were suggesting that you're going to be coming over to Europe, where you said, yes, it's still relatively cold. And I'm actually going to be traveling towards Asia, where it's nice and warm these times. So
yeah, this time is good in Asia. This time is really good.
So, Smitha, please introduce yourself and your company, Utunga, to our OPC Foundation podcast listeners.
Sure. Thank you, Peter. Hello, everyone. I am Smitha Rao. I'm a co-founder of Utunga, and I head the Europe divisions for Utunga. Apart from my entrepreneurship journey, I'm a OPC Foundation accredited expert. I'm also part of OPC Hub India steering committee member, where we are responsible for promoting OPC technology and adoption for Indian region. And I have written multiple white papers, IEEE publications, and contributed to the companion specifications of OPC. I have also co-authored a book called Unlocking the Power of OPC-UA, which is going to get released in this quarter. Yeah, that's about me, Peter.
Okay, yeah, we're going to be talking about all these topics. Maybe as an introduction, as you suggested, you're responsible for the European activities from your company. Maybe you're going to give us a quick introduction view on the OPC-UA related business, you know, from an Indian perspective in relation to Europe, maybe other parts of the world as you experience them yourself or from your colleagues as well.
Yes, sure. If you look at Utunga, we provide product engineering services and industrial solution business. Our journey started 15 years ago, and we started with OPC as our OPC device integration, device engineering as the core technology. And even though we are Indian origin company, we served US market for the first 10 years of our journey. And we recently started with Europe 5 years ago. And one thing that I would say that is OPC technology itself has come a very long way. If you look at OPC back in early 2000, where OPC was just a classic OPC, everyone was aware that OPC is just a protocol which just used in the oil and gas industries. And we have developed, you know, many products, including integration of that with the DCS systems and many, many similar that we have done it. But what I have seen in the last this thing is OPC adoption has increased drastically, especially we can see that from the last 3 to 4 years of our, since 2019 or 20, it has increased drastically. As a service provider and solution provider in the industrial automation domain, we see that trend increasing the business of OPC and related technology. Not only OPC, both digitalization, IoT, edge products, so many of these things. And if I look at the whole arena, I would say that apart from Europe comes the first in terms of OPC adoption, because the awareness level in the European region is pretty high. They are all aware of what OPC, at least whoever we have discussing, at least they are aware of the OPC word and the technology and what value that it can bring to the table compared to other regions. And apart from European market, we also have seen that good trend of OPC adoption and interest in the MENA region, especially Middle East and North American part of it. And when it comes to India, I would say that it's still in a baby step. There's a lot for us to as part of OPC Hub steering committee member to achieve in terms of adopting OPC as part of it, as a technology, that value that it can bring to this industry.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that first sharing of the different levels of introduction of the technology. As you say, initially seen as a protocol. In the meantime, people understand it's like an architecture, a communication architecture for industry. And interestingly, also the different levels. You say Europe, of course, I, Stefan, many, many, many people have been part of that. But also in the United States, I haven't been part of it in sharing it in Asia, in India, but that's what you and your colleagues from other companies, I guess, are taking care of today. And one thing of making OPC UA knowledge in the market, you've written a book. I recall my time from Softing. We're talking 20 years back, I guess. And actually, there was a time that I was spending a week or two in hospital, and I started reading what at that time we called the Red Book. Not sure you know it, from Jürgen Lange, Frank Ivanitz. That was from Softing. That's how I started my OPC UA journey. Then there was a Green Book, Matthias Damm, Esquilap, yes. I recall. John Rinaldi did a Blue Book. Now there's a new, I just looked on the internet, I see there's a new Blue Book. From yourself, I believe, with four colleagues. So what motivate you, your colleagues, to undertake this endeavor? What are the insights, the knowledge maybe that you're hoping to impart through it?
Yes, definitely. As Peter, you have mentioned, for me, especially the book that written by Matthias Damm as well as Wolfgang Mahnke. So I would say he was the one who helped me to get deeper insight into the OPC knowledge. Mm-hmm. So as I said, definitely our book is not the first one. And these books are extremely technically very rich content. But one thing that we have, the main motivation for us to come up with this book is our book mainly targets the decision makers who are thinking of digitization and Industry 4.0, and they wanted to understand where OPC can fit into this. So main goal of this book is to make them have informed decisions whether they should consider OPC or not. If they have to consider, then what are the things that they should be aware of? So it's not a developer book, I would say. It's for a decision makers and a product owners. And from our 15 years of our journey as part of Uttunga, in seeing this industry, how it has moved forward and towards the digitalization and being part of some of our customers' product strategy and their roadmap, and also our stint and associations with the OPC Foundation as part of the specification working group, we have understood that not only the house specification is written, but what is the thought behind it? What is the use case behind it? So we try to get all these things in a book and try to make it concise, not like too much, because we wanted this book to be read in one or two goes. So it's a concise version of people who wants to see what OPC can help them and what are the things that they should look at when they are considering OPC as a technology that they wanted to adopt for their business benefits.
Very good. Just before I forget, any decision makers listening, but of course also maybe developers, but as you say, your decision makers are your target audience for OPC UA book. Smith Arau, that's what I did just 5 minutes before we started talking here, and you'll get the book there. That's very good. Yeah, I mean, that has been typically throughout my almost career from Intel through many other companies, always the target audience. And I must say that sometimes the Red Book, that was a Softing, and I even didn't start with the Matthias Damm Esquilap book, because for me as a person, that would have been sometimes too detailed, but that's perfectly okay. So I think here, in this channel, in this podcast, we do address, I guess, both audiences of a decision maker as well as a developer. Mm-hmm. So that's very good. So you said the things markets have been changing. Can you share with us what is the changes in the mindset maybe of your customers that you see have changed over the past 10, 15 years?
Yeah, sure. So 15 years ago, I would say that it was all OPC classic. So the customer mindset was OPC was considered as a kind of a protocol which can combine all other protocols. So instead of multiple protocols, it basically they considered OPC as a layer on top of it. And because of this, it was very helpful then. Because of this, there can see that there is a spike in adoption of OPC classic adoption. And still you can see a lot of OPC classic installation base in the oil and gas industries, refineries, and chemical factories, etc. We have seen that. But when OPC UA specification was released, there is a lot of thoughts that has come in the OPC UA specification, like they have ensured that it is secure by design, it adopted the service-oriented architecture, it was operating system independent, and so there is no COM and DECOM, the issues that help what we call it. And also it's not only limited to oil and gas industry. They ensure that with all the companion specifications and where they brought in all the domain experts to define the specifications, it's like just look, OPCU has come a very long way. But when it comes to customer awareness, I would say that based on our experience, it is only 30 to 40% of the specification is known to them. And also like that I'm telling to the audience or customers who are aware of this technology, but even for them, it is only 30 to 40% of the rich capability of that OPCUA that they are aware of. So, but in the last 4-5 years, maybe because of the boom in terms of maybe COVID also have impacted of importance of having the remote, you know, monitoring, and that has actually helped, I believe. But think other, you know, advisory groups like ARC or others ones can throw more light on that. But it is based on our experience, I would say customers are interested in understanding what OPC can bring in. So we see an increase in the trend of inquiries that we are getting in terms of OPC technology, as well as whether how they can fix the problems, and also whether we have been the consulting partners for some of our customers in helping them to strategize where OPC can fit in. And also we have a center of excellence for some of our customers for OPC technology. So OPC awareness is increasing, but it is still not covered the potential of what OPC's UA Foundation has already done. Like we still have a long way to catch up.
Sure. And that's what we're working on right now, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you put it very well, from the original, the classic, to what's OPC UA. Maybe from a what you could say a protocol towards an architecture. You already named security. I would add also the information modeling, which I see in addition to the built-in security is one of the most important aspects. I do a lot in data science in an industrial environment, artificial intelligence, and having the information model at hand is such a core feature that maybe, well, I'm sure that the grounding fathers must have thought 10, 20 years in advance and already knew at that time what amazing advantage we have it. You already mentioned a couple of times oil and gas. Tell us, what are the different markets you work in? Maybe you can name a customer of you. Maybe there's a project that you can share with us. What is it? Maybe there's an interesting story in your experience over the last, whatever, 10, 15 years with OPC and OPC UA.
Sure. Yeah. As a company, we have designed the solutions for oil and gas industries, refineries, steel industry. We have done it for solar energy and also one of the water treatment plant in India as well. We try to adapt to the legacy systems and made it work. So one of the interesting cases, these are all like, you know, typical cases, not like very interesting to speak in this forum. One thing that maybe interesting project that we have done is for one of the data centers. The requirement was for them to get more than 150,000 tags or data points from a Modbus device and getting that into a OPC UA and OPC Classic server. So here the requirement is the availability of this data, and it should be able to scale the solutions to handle 150 data points minimum. And then, so there was a lot of questions on whether OPC is the right technology or we just need to just ignore it and going with something else, some other technology which is like known for the fast communication and high availability. Then finally, after a lot of POCs that we have done, then we thought that, okay, we came up with the OPC as a solutions. So as part of the solutions, what we have done is we have provided the redundancy at a data source level and used a distributed architecture to have multiple drives getting data from Modbus drivers, which is helps us to avoid a single point of failure. And we also have extended the solution using our own OPC data bridge, which is based on OPC PubSub technology, to move this data to an IoT platform. So this is one of the case which is like for a data center, not for oil and gas industries, where the interesting use case, I thought that would be interesting for this podcast.
Most certainly, yeah. So as you now mentioned, 2-3 different industries, oil and gas, water. In your experience then, how effectively has or does OPC, OPC UA adapt to these various industries?
Surely, if we see that oil and gas is something that OPC has born with, I would say, especially the, you know, process automation industries, because that is where the OPC was originated from, where they had, you know, HMI applications or asset health applications, where we wanted to get the data from multiple PLCs and devices supporting different protocols. So in order to avoid that driver, multiple integrating the driver, which changes this layer, so they came up with the OPC. So it's already been there. But when it comes to water treatment plant, it was already a kind of one that health asset health systems was already existing. And for them, they went with OPC is because they wanted to ensure that they can go with the multiple vendor systems and underlying layer. They don't want to stick to one vendor, and that they had a long-term plan of 10 years to use the same system that they bought in. And that is the reason they went for OPC solutions for that, so that they can ask for their other suppliers to provide OPC-enabled solutions which can be integrated quickly without making any changes to their existing setup.
Right. So from a theoretical standard, initially a wanted standard, of course, to at some point it, a break-even point to a de facto standard, and OPC UA is actually being requested, you know, for you as a provider to be able to deliver your services. So share a little bit more how the current landscape is of OPC UA, of OPC in India, and where you see it fitting as you, you know, as you, India's future is developing the next decades.
Yeah, so I would say OPC is in very, very initial step when it comes to India. You can see even the number of member companies in India is, we feel that we have a long way to go. But if you look at the Indian manufacturing, India is really, you know, as you can see, India is growing. Indian manufacturing industry is growing. There's a lot of things that is happening in the manufacturing industries. At the moment, it is like 17 to 18% of GDP's revenue comes from the manufacturing industry. So if you look at that manufacturing industries, it can be categorized into 2 to 3 stratas. See, one is big companies, like large company, billion-dollar industries. So they are always looking, they're always looking ahead, and they futuristic. And for them to adapt smart manufacturing and as well as an adoption of OPC is comparatively easier. And they are willing to do it. And I would say that currently, most of our project that we are executing is in this sector, what we are already doing it. But the next sector is, which is the MSME, we call it as, which is micro, small and medium enterprises. Interestingly, there are around, as per the statistics, more than 600 million MSMEs are there in India. Even they could be as small as 2 to 3, you know, small segments of it. And for them, adopting the new OPC UA or smart manufacturing or any of the new initiatives is hard, because there is a lack of awareness of this technology, and there's a skill gap that they always see. And they're also always scared of the initial investment that they need to do in order to bring this change. So there's a lot of initiatives that we need to take as part of OPC Hub in India initiative, which is led by Siemens. And apart from VDMA, Fraunhofer and Persistent Systems, we are also part of it. And we are doing a lot of work in promoting this. And it, definitely India is an emerging market, and OPC is going to play a pivotal role. So in order to avoid that skill gap, what we have done is, like you, as we are also aware of, that OPC technology has a OPC academia, which helps us, which is a pool of knowledge for the universities to get their students trained from. And so we can tap on that. And we are also talking with some of those universities in India to do this and to bridge that skill gap. And also as part of OPC Hub India Committee, we are also in discussion with the Bureau of Indian Standard to adopt OPC as the standard for Indian market. And the discussion is led by Siemens, and it's going on. Hope we can turn it around.
Right. One question just came to my mind is, like, you know, when I interact, as you and I do at the very moment, with Indian people, it's always in the English language. And I'm not necessarily aware of, I believe you may have a vast number of different languages. So when you say providing information to, for example, universities or different platforms within India, is that in specific languages for the specific people that you're targeting then in your country, or?
No, it's not necessary, Peter. India is like, we love English so much. We, you know, maybe thanks to the colonization, but even one thing is like English is considered as the language. Even after our 10th grade, most of the universities, even everyone, everywhere, English is very common. So there's no need of the localization for this, because whoever in the technology, they are aware of English and it's very easy. But it's not the same case in Japan, I would say. If you are like, we also have customers from Japanese market where language becomes very important, but not in India. English is good here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You say India emerging market. Nevertheless, I mean, Indian people are, for whatever reason, famous for coding, you know. So yeah. Maybe now, one reason is because of the huge volume of the number of Indian people, but there's other countries, but maybe then as another example, and of course, China, we're maybe further away from. But at the same time, also in the market that I'm more specifically in, industrial AI, there are studies that say that the share of Indian people involved in the development of the, you know, the large language models, the coding, ML ops, all the complete surroundings, the share of Indian people is very high. So you already mentioned steering committee. What does the steering committee do? How do you then, together with, I don't know, other companies, you already mentioned Siemens, how do you envision then enhancing the adaptability of OPC UA in India?
Yeah, we have, as part of the OPC Hub Steering Committee, we have a vision of ensure that OPC technology becomes at least the household name, especially in the industries that we operate. So as part of this, we have already conducted a few digital events, webinars and panel discussions, and we have the plan for this year as well. Apart from that, we also have conducted physical events because COVID is no more there. So we have the VDMA is leading it, and also OPC Foundation is part of it. Last year, Stephen Hoppe was in India again, second times, where he spoke about what OPC can bring in. So these kind of awareness sessions help the companies to get interested in. And apart from that, we are also working with universities to promote it. And also there is a CMTI, which is Manufacturing, Indian Manufacturing Consortium, that we are in discussions with. It's a long journey. It's not that, you know, you're going to see the change in the next 6 months, but a consistent effort is going to make a difference in the long term, I would say.
Okay, yeah. Having Stefan on site, and I've been traveling with him in many parts of the world, not in your part. It's always very inspiring to hear it from the horse's mouth, from the president of the OPC Foundation.
Yeah.
More coming back to you, what would you consider as your key core competence in OPC, OPC UA, and how did you build it yourself?
Yeah, so I would say that Uttunga's journey and OPC journey is almost similar. This thought came in when I was invited for this podcast, because if you look at, we are right now 1,000 plus engineers. We started 15 years ago. But if you look at OPC, it is like 2 decades. OPC UA, especially OPC Foundation, started like, has just celebrated their 20 years journey.
Right.
And as a membership, you will be almost reaching 1,000 companies, might have already reached now. And you also have adapted to not only where your core competency is, but spread it across to the various industries. So as Uttunga, we also like, we started with the industrial or automation domain, but we also have uniquely positioned to serve the market, especially in the digitization world. So what we are doing right now is we work with the R&D team of the original equipment manufacturers to not only to develop, but start with the conceptualizing their product roadmap and where OPC can fit in. And we have worked on OPC in multiple layers, like OPC and FLC, OPC in an edge application. And we have also submitted a paper on OPC and 5G. We have developed OPC in a network diagnostics tool. So we have done a very innovative and next gen kind of a products from the equipment manufacturer perspective. But when it comes to the industries, we have SMEs. Like these are the, whatever we are serving for this is most of the talents are homegrown, but we hire a few of them from the industries who have already experienced working with OPC. But we have an ecosystem learning and development framework within Uttunga, which help them to nourish this talent and skills in terms of OPC so that we can provide the best service to our customers. So in this case, we act as a bridge between the companies who want to adopt OPC and develop a product, and to a consortium where it is technology is being, you know, conceptualized and being defined. Since we have the experience of both the world, where our engineers are also part of the companion specifications and development, where we have experience of working with many companies, next-gen products, we are uniquely positioned in this way. That is for OEMs. But when it comes, we also have another division called Industrial Solution Business, where we go to the industries and solve their a problem. So when I say the problems, it could be like we act as a solution partners for these industries in their digitalization journey, whether it could be a process optimization or bringing more energy efficiency into their existing systems. And also, like most of the time, sustainability is one of the key word that you can see many times, many of the boardroom discussions. And we help them and come as a solution partner where in curating and achieving their sustainability and business goals. With our SME expertise, with our experience and deep knowledge, I would say that with 1,000 people, such a deep knowledge on this technology with the multiple dimensions, we are very uniquely positioned to our customers. And that is the reason we are also growing pretty fast as a company.
So on the topic of further growing, I assume you already over 1,000 engineers, assuming you do want to continue to grow further in terms of talent acquisition, then where do you source your CUA technology talents from, and what measures do you take to nurture and develop them further?
So most of the talents that I would say is homegrown. We have the complete OPC Center of Excellence as a separate unit where we work on that. It's a combination of like junior engineers and engineers who are trying to develop an OPC UA server and a client. And it also has an architects who knows, who have experience of developing OPC product for some of our customers and have a very good knowledge on that. And also then we have SMEs. I would say that SMEs of who have worked in industries like Saudi Aramco and and they come with the not from the technology perspective, but like for them, it is like OPC is just one portion of their entire this thing, right? So they help us to give a bigger vision on what is their priorities. So when we have a continuous sessions on these things to make our talent pool much more equipped to solve this problem of, you know, nurturing these talents. So I think we have, with 15 years of our entrepreneurship, maybe we have found this equation right with respect to OPC technology. And again, not only from OPC, but other core technology that as a company we are.
Okay, so from a business considering then, for those business decision makers listening in and those considering then OPC UA technology adoption, what advice would you give them to ensure a smooth, successful integration into their operation?
So what I would say is for the decision makers is like when you are looking at, it's not like every problem needs OPC as a solution. Okay, it's not that way. So for example, if your requirement is a high speed production line and you don't have any vision to expose this data elsewhere, you are very clear that this system is going to do this job and it's limited to it, then maybe EtherCAT is the best solutions there. Ideal choice. You need not still go to OPC in that case. But in case if you have a bigger vision of integrating this unit to your, you know, bigger vision of getting this data and improving it, then definitely you should look at OPC. And when you're planning to adopt OPC, what I would say is kindly look at OPC from a holistic point of view, not like the current investment that you are making it because you are want to adopt OPC. Maybe you may have to spell out a few hundred Ks for making your product OPC compliant and getting it certified. But if you look at the 5 years down the line, this can bring to light because few of your existing devices or underlying devices are going to get obsolete. And when you are replacing it, what is the effect? So you have to think from that holistic view to come up with adapting OPC technologies, not just the current investment, but current investment versus the return on investment that you may get in the next 5 to 10 years based on your roadmap. If you are developing, if you are thinking of going for OPC product and so OPC solutions, look for OPC Foundation Marketplace. There are many vendors, suppliers, hundreds of suppliers who are providing OPC products which are listed in the OPC Foundation Marketplace. Please have a look at them and see if it works for you instead of developing on your own. Definitely, if you want to develop, please come to us. But better to look into that. And if that fits in, then definitely that would be easy solutions for you than developing it on your own. in case if you decide not to go for OPC, then maybe I would still suggest you to look for the possible risks that may arise and have a mitigation plan in place in now itself, so that you know this is you that is well documented as well. Because in the next 5-10 years, if next future leader comes in, they'll know where to look into and how they can move forward.
I would agree. Even your high-speed production line that you mentioned at the beginning, that you decide to keep local, so to say, closed, is another word maybe today. 2 years from now, suddenly you're going to say, oh, if we would have only opened it, if we would have made sure that our data are going to be represented in an OPC UA information model, then now we would have had no problem. But then having said that, of course, not every solution maybe needs OPC UA, but I would almost say, for me, it's very, very difficult to imagine that today you would be doing production, high speed, low speed, whatever, without doing something with your data. The data have such an amazing additional potential, right?
Yeah.
As we wrap up, because we could talk for hours, what are maybe the key takeaways, insights that you would like to leave our audience with regarding OPC UA technology and its role in shaping the future of industrial automation in general, and maybe, India, or I think you're in charge of the European market, the global industrial automation?
Yeah, so to wrap up, I would say that there are a few points that I wanted to do. OPC is people who are just experienced with OPC Classic. OPC is just beyond the protocol. It is not just the protocol. It has huge potential to adapt to your needs, whether it is if you're coming up with a small sensor or a big cloud, enterprise-wide cloud applications. So OPC can fit in anywhere. It is kind of a building block as a technology that it will provide. It is up to us as an architect to, use it the way that best serves our need. So second thing is, I would say that when you're looking at from the business perspective, when you look at the return on investment perspective, take a holistic view, not only what you are investing as a product development, the additional delta cost that it brings in, but overall in the next 5-10 years, what value that it can bring into the table with or without OPC. When it comes to OPC, definitely there is a lot of information that is available, including in the OPC Foundation website. So I think it's a time to have a look there.
Sounds great. It's a nice closer. Thank you, Smita, for sharing your thoughts, your experience on OPC, OPC UA, from your perspective as a founder, managing director, coming from India, but very clearly with a global perspective. If you, dear listener, want to learn more already, Smita, thank you. You suggested it as well. You can always listen to preceding OPC Foundation podcast editions. You can visit the website. Specifically, of course, today you can go to the Otunga website. I already suggested you can search for OPC UA book, Smita Rao. So if you have a proposal for topics, maybe you're interested in appearing on the OPC Foundation podcast, maybe you want to become a member of the OPC Foundation, you can always mail the OPC Foundation at office@opcfoundation.org. I'm very happy that you stayed with us so far. If you liked what you heard, give us a thumbs up, spread the news, and looking forward to have you with us again. And Smita, thank you very much again for having been my guest today.
Thank you, Peter. It was a very interesting conversation that we had, very interactive as well. I enjoyed the session very well. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.